Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and open to Colossians chapter 1. And that's where we'll start this morning, Colossians chapter 1. I want to start by reading just one verse, Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, which says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful this morning for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. We thank you that you are faithful, that we can sing to you praises. We thank you, Lord, for this past week, the highs that we had this week, moments of joy, and Lord, also understanding that the more difficult moments were from your hand. We recognize that, Lord, you are working in us and through us. Those that know you, Lord, we are resting in the fact that you have chosen and predestined us. We are resting in the fact, Lord, that you are conforming us to the image of Christ, and we are resting in the fact that one day you will glorify us. Father, as we come to your word this morning, I pray that you would open our hearts to be attentive to what you are teaching through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. There's many passages that can drive church ministries and why you do what you do as a church body. Some churches, I think, take their cue from Acts 2, verse 41. And they see this amazing passage where, "So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls." Could you imagine that? That'd be a logistical, interesting thing to take care of, wouldn't it? 3,000 souls? And so you have, I think, some churches look at that, and they say, well, the early church seemed to be a mega church. 3,000 in one day, we should and ought to expect the same. That each week, hundreds and thousands of people will come and gather. Bigger must be better. It must be the way to go. By the way, we're just following what the early church did. And so you have, you know, church ministries that we call church growth ministries. Everything is about growth. Now, I do think, I really do think this, that those churches that are faithfully proclaiming the Word of God and are a body of Christ that shares the gospel, God will bring people in. More than ever, I think you're going to find that across the nation, that faithful churches to the preaching of God's Word will start to fill as you have people in other churches that want to hear the Word preached. And I think if we're sharing the gospel, we shouldn't be shocked that people get saved, right? And I think, if I could just, you know, I've railed and gone off against the church growth movement, but don't let that be an excuse for us to be lazy, right? Or to lack zeal. You have the passion they have to see people come to know Jesus Christ. But it seems like Acts 2:41 can drive many churches' ministries. Others go to, you know, maybe Acts 20, verse 20, and they see Paul's statement here and maybe a paradigm for how things should be done, where he said, "I do not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable from teaching you in public," and that last phrase, "from house to house." And so you have house churches. That became a fad for a while. Do you remember that? It's back, in case you aren't aware of that. House churches are the new inn, thanks to a very prolific writer who I admire very much. And so, you know, maybe the way to do church is in the house. And so that'll solve our problems within churches. Okay. And then I honestly think that you can take what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, and look at each part of that verse. And you could almost characterize churches sometimes by just one aspect of what he says. Second Timothy 4, 2, "Preach the word," he says, "be ready in season and out of season." Here it is. "Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teachings." And so, you know, some churches take their cue from that, and they would never say they take their cue from that. I'm just implying that's what they do. And they come out, and everything seems to be reproof, correction. They're constantly correcting everything. It's like the main emphasis of the ministry. We're going to correct people and we're going to correct ministries. And so we sit here and they exist. You can find them on YouTube, where all they do is sit there and correct other ministries. And that's it. That's the main thing that they do. Or some focus on rebuke. We're continually protecting from the world, censoring people. All we do is go sin after sin after sin after sin. You never sit there. You never hear the word grace. You never get a sense that it's a joy to be a Christian. And then other churches, you know, maybe they emphasize the last word there, exhort, or better yet, probably encourage. The idea of encouragement. Week after week, all you get is encouraged. No sin ever talked about. Never going to address any of that. Ears simply get tickled. So really, though, isn't all of what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, what we ought to be involved in as a body of Christ? There are times for reproving. There are times for rebuking. There's times for encouragement. All of that should be characterized by our ministry. When I think of our church in particular and what ought to be driving this church and whether or not you know it has been driving the ministry that the leadership has had here in our body, I always come back to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. The task of leadership, the task of gospel life church towards one another is best summed up in this verse. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, and here's the goal, that we might present everyone mature in Christ. What are we called to do? What ought to drive the ministry here of this church? That is to present every man, every woman, every girl, every boy that has been trusted to our responsibility, entrusted to us as a church body, to take them and present them mature in Jesus Christ. Now that is a privilege, isn't it? I mean, that's an honor when you really think about that, that God puts us in a place where he accomplishes his work of maturing his people through us, each one of us that is a member here. That's an honor, and it's a task, isn't it? The church is to be a people who are committed to and focused on the growth of the people of God. This is the second message in a series that we're looking at the three pillars of Gospel Life Church. The first message last week focused on pillar one, grounded, being grounded in the gospel. As a church, we are to be committed to seeing every member grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is our center. It's the reason why we are even here. It's a reason why we exist as a church. It's the foundation of our salvation, and it's a foundation upon which all of us are to be grounded. But being grounded in the gospel is not all that we're committed to. Secondly, we're committed to growing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, getting a greater grounding and then growing from there in that gospel, maturing as a body of believers. Now, when I say that, there is a potential for there to be a misunderstanding in what I'm saying. We could get the mentality that, okay, we're focused on being grounded in the gospel. Check, done. Got it. Point two, let's move on to that now. We're good with the grounded part. Now let's move on to being growing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And eventually we'll say, check, got that. And then, you know, we focus and we think of it as okay, we're going to do this at one point and we'll get that taken care of. You know, we're grounded in the gospel. But that's not how it works at all. Just think about a seed that you plant in the ground. What's the first thing it does? Sends out the roots and it gets grounded, doesn't it? And then what happens? Starts to grow. Now, is it done growing underground on what it's grounded in? No, it only grows deeper and greater and in greater depths in the soil that it's in. And so as it continues to get further grounded, it continues to grow above that ground. And us, as we continue to get grounded greater and greater in the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives, and we understand it at greater depths, we get a better picture of who we are as a sinner, and a better picture of God's holiness, and a better picture of the cross that bridges that massive gulf. As we grow in our understanding of that, our grounding gets deeper, and our growing in the Lord continues to increase. So we're not talking about check one, check two, but all of it continually. As we continue to grow in our grounding, we continue to see the effects of this growth in our Christian life. Robert Thune said, if we are to grow into maturity in Christ, we must deepen and enlarge our understanding of the gospel as God's appointed means for personal and communal transformation. He's right on the money. At Gospel Life Church, the gospel is the center of all that we do. It's our grounding. And as we continue to get grounded in the gospel, we look for growth in that gospel. We want to see growth from that gospel. We seek to present every person mature in Christ. Not to make everyone happy. You know, that's impossible, right? You know that's impossible in the row you're in, even if there's only two of you. And if there's one of you, even that's not possible. You don't even make yourself happy. Not to make everything easy, but what are we called to do? To grow. Would we not want to stand before the Lord that day and he says, all right, I want everyone who went to First Baptist Church, let's go all the way back, went to Amana Baptist Church way back in the day, everyone who went to First Baptist Church, everyone who went to Gospel Life Church, I want you all to come in this room. And let's see, how well did you guys do at presenting every person in your responsibility mature in Christ? That is a weighty thought, is it not? Well, here's what happens when we don't grow in the gospel. Just because a church exists doesn't mean that growth in the gospel is going to happen. Actually, probably more accurately, I should say, just because a church exists doesn't even mean the gospel's there in our culture and in our time. But just because you're a church that is here does not mean that we are necessarily growing in the gospel. And to be a church that is not growing in the gospel is a dangerous thing. There's a lot that can happen in that type of scenario, but let me just paint you a picture that the Bible paints and use their language, its language, to help us understand what happens if we are not growing in the gospel as a church. The first thing is we become old babies. We become old babies. Yeah, I said it. Old babies. Picture that in your mind. And I'm borrowing the imagery from Hebrews chapter 5. So turn there, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 5. If we do not grow in the gospel, we as a church will be a body that is just a bunch of old babies. Look at verse 11. About this, we have much to say. This is Hebrews 5, verse 11, page 1003. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But, verse 14, solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, notice, verse 12, what's going on here. They ought at this time to be teachers. In other words, there had been a length of time since the writer of Hebrews had explained the basics of the gospel. They should have grasped the basics of the gospel, even some very difficult concepts in the book of Hebrews for us to even grasp. And he's saying, you should get this down. You ought to be teachers by now. It's been long enough now. But, verse 12, what's up? They can't handle the solid food. They can only handle the milk. The problem is not what they were eating. Milk. That's not a problem. The problem is what they couldn't eat. Meat. They were not ready yet for it. They should have been able to handle meat by now, but they couldn't do it. They might have come to faith some time ago. They might have been believers for some time now, but spiritually speaking, they were old babies. And a baby that desires milk is normal. But a 15-year-old who looks and acts like a baby and is still only on milk, that's not normal, is that? That's a problem. And so he says to them, listen, you should be teachers, but you need the basic principles of the oracles of God taught to you. You know what got them to this place? Look at verse 11. They had become, the end of the verse, dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Dull is only found twice. That word dull is only found twice in the New Testament. You find it here and in chapter 6, verse 12. Notice, if you just flip over probably in your Bible. Look at what he says in 6:12. So that you may not be, here's the word, same word as dull, sluggish. So that you may not be sluggish. It's not a very popular word. You find it once in the Greek Old Testament of the Bible in Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 29, and there it's used in the sense of lazy, sluggish. And you find it one time in non-biblical Jewish literature, and guess what? In the book of Sirach, it has the same nuance, sluggish, lazy. So what he's saying here in verse 11, here's why they had become big babies. They became big babies because they had become dull or sluggish or lazy hearers. Lazy in their hearing. I think that's really insightful. Because if you want to be a church that's full of big babies, just be lazy. Just coast. Just do your church thing. And come on Sunday, sing the glorious gospels of Jesus Christ that we proclaim. Listen to that. Hear the forgiveness of sins that are offered and live however you want. Don't take what you hear on Sunday and do the hard work of saying, what's this look like on Monday? Become lazy, dull, sluggish in your hearing. We cannot just cruise or coast in our Christian life. And come on, we're all tempted with that, right? We all have those seasons, if we're honest. Some seasons you just feel on fire for the Lord, right? Other seasons it's just tough. But if you just put it in cruise control in your Christian life, don't ever expect to grow in the gospel. It only produces old babies. What does James tell us to do? How do we avoid laziness, dullness, sluggishness in our hearing so that we don't become old babies? What does James say? James chapter 1, verse 22. Be what? Doers of the word. Man, I love that passage. I come back to it all the time. You know why? Because we hear the word all the time, and we don't apply it all the time. If we took one verse for 1 month and sought how to apply that in our life, I think we'd grow more than hearing 1,000 sermons and never once applying it. Doers of the word. Because what happens when you are a hearer of the word and not a doer? Do you remember what he says? You deceive only yourself. And you're like a person that looks in the mirror and you come to church on Sunday. Next Sunday, right? So some of you are going to look in the mirror for next Sunday because we're taking pictures next Sunday. And so you look in the mirror and you see the blotch of mustard. I always say that because some of you eat mustard for breakfast. And so you see the blotch of mustard. I don't know why I picked mustard. That's why I said that. Those that know me, there's my thought pattern. Anyways, so you see that blotch of mustard on your face. You come to church on Sunday. You hear the word of God. You feel the conviction of the Spirit. You see the blotch of mustard. And then you walk away and don't do anything about it. And you've deceived, and I've deceived myself into thinking that we accomplish something on Sunday morning. Doers of the word and not hearers. If we fail to grow in the church, in the gospel, we become a church full of old babies in the faith. Not thriving, not growing, weak, and powerless. Secondly, not only do we become big babies, we become, ultimately, like the lost. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would. We become like the lost. One of these days, I will preach through the book of Corinthians, and this passage is full. Paul, at times, I love. He's so sarcastic. This is full of sarcasm in a good way. What happens when you don't grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ? As a church, we become like the lost. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, that's page 953. Look at verse 1. He says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with the milk." Now notice, he uses some very similar language, right, as Hebrews chapter 5. "I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human?" Now, the Corinthians had a host of issues. If you're not aware of that, if you were to read through 1 and 2 Corinthians, you find that this church had a host of problems. There was problems of division. There's problems with immorality. There's problems with suing one another. There's problems with pride, with favoritism. They have issues with important doctrines of the faith. And so look what Paul calls them in verse 1. He calls them babies, infants in Christ. "I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ." Again, helping us to see that the emphasis of what Paul's getting at is maturity in the body of Christ. There's immaturity, and it was evident in their behavior. How did he know that? Verse 3. They're fighting. Jealousy. I was thinking about it this morning. You know, as a parent, don't you love it when the kids are at that age, they fight over everything? And you think, man, if you guys would just get along, and you go to work, and all you do is what? Fight with your coworkers. I'm like, we're all just a bunch of little kids. But Paul's coming to them, and he's saying, listen, your behavior is making it evident that you're immature in the faith. So he's saying that their immaturity, verse 3, is evidenced in their fighting and their jealousy and really everything else that he's saying in the book. And what he's saying here is not in verse 3, verse 3, "for you are still of the flesh." What he's saying there is not that they're not saved. He's saying you are acting as if you have no spirit. You are acting like those who do not have the Spirit, which to the Corinthians was a huge hit because of all the people who thought they were spiritual, it was the Corinthians. They were fighting over spiritual gifts because they were so spiritual. And Paul is just sarcastic at them and says, "You think you're spiritual? I'm addressing you like you don't even have the Spirit at all. Who's spiritual now? You're not." How do I know that? Because of your actions in verses 3 and 4. You're like a babe. You are actually, what he's saying in verses 1 through 4 is, you're acting as if you do not have the Spirit, which means you're just like the lost. You're just like the lost. And if we don't grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there will be no difference between us and the world around us. And I did not say there'll be no difference in how we look and whether we come to church on Sunday. There'll be no difference in the way we behave and the way we interact with one another and the way that we handle business and the way that we serve. So Paul's assessment in verse 1, that they're infants in Christ, in verse 3, that they're still acting as if they did not have the Spirit. They're like they have no Spirit at all. It's not surprising to see that this rest of this book is just filled with problems, right? It's not surprising at all. They were not growing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also, which is really interesting, of all the cities that Paul spent the most time, it seems like it was this body of believers. They should have been light years ahead of people like the Thessalonians, who were really mature, and Paul was only there a couple of months. We act like the lost when we don't grow. That's what happens to a church when it does not grow in the gospel. It fails to thrive. It's immature. It looks more like a baby in the faith than a mature child of God. And it doesn't matter if the church has been around for 1 year, 10 years, 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years. If it's not growing in the gospel, something is wrong. So I just spent a little bit of time explaining what happens when we don't grow in the gospel. Now we have to start asking, okay, what can we do to ensure that we, as a body of Christ, as Gospel Life Church, grow in the gospel? How do we grow in the gospel? So that's the second thing I just want to briefly, and I mean it's brief, talk about this morning. How do we grow in the gospel? Here's how we do it. Very simply, by the Spirit, through the Word, in community. We grow by the Spirit, through the Word, in community. It's by the Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, He is the one who brings us sanctification. John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus reminds us that the Spirit of truth guides us into all truth. We grow in the gospel together. It is a work done by the Spirit. But notice what I said. It also is how? Through what? The Word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, but that by it you may grow up into salvation. We are to long for the Word because the Word is our spiritual nourishment. The imagery changes on milk there. He's now the imagery is of a baby who needs milk. And he's saying, be like that baby who needs milk. Long for it. Have you ever been in a room with a baby who needs milk? Everybody knows, don't they? That baby makes sure that everyone within the reach of its voice or screaming will hear it because it needs the milk. It desires that milk, and it will make your life miserable until it gets that milk. And Peter's saying, listen, desire the milk of the Word, which is found in the Word, just like a newborn. You need it to grow. You need the Word to grow and to grow up into salvation. He's picturing even salvation as this maturing process to finalize in Christ. And he's saying, look, you're going to grow up, and one day the fullness of your salvation will be realized. And as you're growing through that, desire the milk of the Word, yearn for the Word of God. This is why we must be under the teaching of the Word of God and why we must be reading. You know why we read massive passages of Scripture each Sunday? Two reasons. Three. Let me give you three. One, I like to see the guys challenged. That's just an inside thing I enjoy. Two, I don't want to chop up the Bible so much we miss the big scope of it. And that's why you have this big section of Acts that we're reading. And three, how many of us are reading the Word through the week? For some of us, and I mean this, this is the only time you'll read through the New Testament. We go through church over the course of how many years? We need the Word of God. Don't fool yourselves, though, right? It's not just hearing of the Word. It's hearing the Word in our heart, letting it penetrate. Doers of the Word. So true gospel growth is by the Spirit, is through the Word. But notice the last line, and I mean this. This is really important. Where is it? In community. In community. You know, it was interesting. Last week, as I started preparing this sermon, and I just did a quick search in the New Testament on growth. Growth, any form of that word. And almost every single passage mentions the whole community. No isolation apart from community. Growth, and the idea of growth in the New Testament, is not individualized. It's in the context of a community. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 19 on the screen. Look at the corporate language, not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, that's from Christ, the whole body nourished and knit together, through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. There's a knitting together of the body of Christ, not individual units on their own. There is no just me and God, and I mean that. Because you are in a world with other people. And the evidence of your relationship with God is many times played out in your relationship with others. And so we grow together, not in isolation, but in community, in one body, joints and ligaments, growing from a growth from God. That, one of the best passages for this, turn there, Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, page 978, verses 15 and 16. He's talking about the giftedness. Look at verse 7, just so you can see that. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, I'm going to argue that that's a spiritual gift he's talking about there, the ability to help the body of Christ, the ability to be involved in the body of Christ. Everyone was given a gift. It was graced by God, verse 7. Now, you come up to verse 14. So as he's talking about every person involved in ministry, some have specific roles, others are just in the body ministering together. Verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. All of us are speaking the truth in love. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. How do you know if there's maturity in the body of Christ? It builds itself up in what? Love. It grows together. It's verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Do you notice the language in verse 16 is very similar to Colossians 2:19? This growth together in a body, mutual edification in the body of Jesus Christ, speaking the truth with one another in love. Truth plays an important role in our relationships together. Growing together in the Word together, speaking truths into our lives by one another, you know, towards one another. Having relationships in this body. I'm just totally off the cuff here, so just bear with me. How many know everybody else in this church? Like what they like to do? Yeah. Whether you're a large church or a small church, it's not going to happen, right? So garner yourself 3 or 4 solid friends in this body who know and love you and will speak truth to you in love. Can't expect that from everybody. It's just not going to happen. That's human nature. But as you have these groups of people growing together, there's a genuine love that will come out in the whole body of Christ. And you'll grow to one another. Remember, it doesn't take much to be an old baby, does it? You just have to coast. But as you speak the truth and love towards one another, verse 15, we grow up in every way to him who is the head, Jesus Christ. So it takes place in community. You know why I think it takes place in the community, in a community setting? Because you're not the only one that's right. And when it's in isolation, you're the only one that's right. And everyone gets along with you. But when you're in community, the opportunity to practice forgiveness and patience and love and gentleness and reasonableness, the areas of growth that characterize verse 16 to build ourselves up in love, you get that opportunity week after week. And so the more you want to grow, guess what? Start hanging out with each other more. Because you'll have more opportunity to be patient and bearing one another in love and all these opportunities that God gives you to grow together. But if you don't want to grow, keep it in isolation. I guarantee that you will become lazy in your hearing because the only one you're listening to is yourself. I've heard it said that the most influential speaker in your life every day is you because 70% of the things you hear are from yourself. We grow together by the Spirit through the Word in community. Knowing the gospel, growing the gospel, yeah, they're two different things in some sense. But if we're going to grow in the gospel, we got to get a greater grounding in the gospel. And as we get a greater grounding in the gospel, we grow in the gospel, and the cross looms ever larger in our lives. The glory of Jesus Christ drives us ever more each day. We're a gospel-centered church. We're aimed at seeing every person grounded and every person growing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Lord, I pray that as we walk away from here, we'd be encouraged, Lord, that we are a body who is together and loves one another and pursues one another in the gospel to grow together so that you are honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.